host, Janelle Harris, and this is the podcast that talks to system change leaders, thought leaders, nonprofits, and nonprofit partners to find out what is going on in our nonprofit world. And today, I'm very excited to have with me Dustin Lampros with 561PC, which actually stands for 561 Predator Catcher, which is awesome. Super excited for you to be here. I've been waiting for this for a couple weeks. You have a really unique kind of background and mix as to how you do what you do and what your background is. So we'll get into all of this, but thank you for joining us here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. So let's just, let's dive in. So 561 Predator Catcher, I've told you this like off camera, I'm obsessed with this site. So on Instagram, it's basically where you're going out and you have decoys online, similar to like a Catch Predator style show from back in the day. And it's local here to 561, which is the area code here in Palm Beach County, right? So tell us a little bit about what 561 PC does and how did we get started here?
Yeah, so 561 PC is, you know, the, if you call it organization or group or social media group. Me and my friend Ryan Montgomery started it one day. We catch online child predators. That's, you know, that's the moral of it. He brought it to my attention, kind of the problem in the world, like what's going on with, you know, online child predators and sex trafficking and everything else. And he kind of showed me the dark side, like the stuff that nobody sees. And I had no idea. So when he showed me, I was mind blown. And instantly I thought of a couple of people in my life that I know were victims of it when they were at a very young age. So when he exposed it to me, I was just like jaw dropped and I'm like, what? Like, what can we do?
Sure.
And that's when he was like, I mean, I've always wanted to do this in person, but I've never had anybody be able to do this with me, you know, that will take it serious and be dedicated, because it's not something like, oh, we'll do it once in a while here and there. It's like 24/7, you're on call.
Yeah.
When, you know, you, we
around
have,
the clock.
Yeah, around the clock. You got to be ready because these are real humans that we're dealing with. Right. And a lot of them are very sketchy and trying to like manipulate stuff. So he brought it to my attention and I was like, well, I'm in. And so he said, all right, let's do it. So that basically was kind of the start of it. We didn't have 561PC as a name.
Right.
There's nothing. He just went on a chat site and made like a fake account just to show me at first.
Right. Which was probably terrifying. And you were probably like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe this. Right. Like, oh, it happened so quickly.
It was, like I said, jaw-dropping. Like, he made the account, and within 5 minutes, there's probably 30 messages from people.
That's
and
crazy.
These are, you know, grown adults who see that it's only a 13, 14, 15-year-old.
Right.
And they go out of their way to message him, to talk to him.
Yeah, right? That doesn't deter them. The
no,
age.
Yeah, yeah. So when he showed me that, I was like, let's do it. I'm your guy. You know, I'm obviously, like, so myself, I fight professionally MMA, and I'm not a shy person. So I know that physically, you know, physical altercation, and because I know it's obviously dangerous.
Right.
I know that I could handle myself. So when he said no one's, you know, ever been serious enough to do it with him, I was like, I could do this.
Well, I think that's the thing too. Like, I think of myself, well, I mean, I don't think I'm super scary if I'm like, you know, meeting you out in a Walmart somewhere, but I think that's a huge deterrent. Like, you have to have, you know, enough like courage, if you will, to be able to go in and just confront somebody like that.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do. And especially for somebody that doesn't want to be found for the things that you're coming at them for.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's definitely not easy. So he said, all right, next day we'll try to, you know, we'll make an account and we'll follow through with like trying to go and, you know, catch someone. So the next day came and within 40 minutes we had some like 50-year-old gentleman trying to meet like a 13-year-old boy at like 11 o'clock at night. We went to the location, which the location wasn't the best location to do it at. It was like on a strip with tons of people.
Right.
And, you know, we go ahead and do it. And, you know, it's like everybody thinks they know what they would do if, like, a gun's to their head or if, you know, they have to make a decision.
Totally.
Like, oh, I would do this. But it's different when it comes down to it, right?
The adrenaline starts pumping.
So I see the guy and I kind of freeze up. I don't know what to do. I'm like, oh, there he
there
is.
There he is.
And my buddy Ryan, you know, he just was like, nah. He just started yelling, going after him. The dude, like, kind of ran into this restaurant on the strip, and he hid in the bathroom till the cops came. And that was kind of our first introduction.
And when was this, Dustin? Because when did this get started? Like, how long have you been doing this?
So it's, like, that initial moment was probably a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And then, like, there's been about 7 to 8 months in between that. There, we didn't have the resources to do it, so we weren't doing it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So that was our first one, and
that was scary.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my goodness, this is wild, you know. And
you probably feel like you're on a TV show almost.
Yeah, the first one was kind of, like I said, it's just so raw. We had no experience. We didn't know what we were doing. Right. We didn't know anything. And we did it, and then when we got back, we were like, okay, now this is real. Like, within 40 minutes, he found this. So he reached out to some people in the predator catching community because he's always known about it, and we got some decoys. So a decoy is kind of like what we call the person that is on the account talking to the predator.
Doing all the chatting.
Yeah. And we made some connections with some decoys, and they, you know, offered to decoy for us. And that's kind of, you know, the beginning of it.
Right. So when you guys are trying to go online and find, are you going into chat rooms? I mean, I don't want to, like, totally broadcast out all the platforms that you're on.
Well, I can't technically speak on it because I can. So I know what they do. I'm not a decoy.
Yeah.
I do the confrontation part of it. But, yeah, so these decoys will set up accounts, Grindr, Kick, Tinder, whatever app.
Okay.
South Florida Teen Chat, whatever apps, dating sites.
Got it.
Chat sites. Mm-hmm. And they'll set up accounts. Some accounts will require them to have an 18 or older age. So they'll put an 18-year-old. Like, they'll put the age as 18, right? They won't ever message anyone first. So say someone messages them, they will, right off the bat, say, hey, how old are you? Mm-hmm. And so then the person they're talking to will respond and then say, how about you? And then that's when our decoy will say, well, I'm pretty young. I'm only 13.
Right.
I'm only 12. I'm only 14.
Right.
And right there, that's when, you know, it takes an adult to go, okay,
Not cool.
I'm a block, delete. You know, there's times where people will say, hey, you should get off this app. There's a lot of bad people. Don't do this.
Yeah.
And then there's also people who will say that exactly, too, and then keep on talking. Well, why are you on here? Oh, so have you been with an older person before? Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Well, you know, and that's kind of how the trickling effect will go. And basically, these people will, you know, obviously they have problems.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not healthy mentally. They're not all there if they're agreeing to meet what they think is a child off the internet.
Totally.
Know? But yeah, they'll set those accounts up on all these different apps, and they'll wait for the predator to message them first.
Got it. And then how many interactions? I mean, I know this isn't like your forte, so if you don't know, it's okay. But like, how long does it usually go back and forth before they agree to meet or set up where to meet?
You know, I get to read the chat, so I see. It could be. So we've had catches where they, within the hour, within 2 hours of messaging, you know, agreeing to meet up for adult purposes, sexual activities.
Right.
And, or, you know, we've had a case where it's one of my videos on YouTube where the guy talked for about 2.5 months. And he never talked sexual, though. Very, very creepy. And them are kind of the worst,
yeah,
in my
opinion.
Yeah, because
they're a lot more manipulative. Like, they've done it before, so they know, like, what to say and not say.
So this is where I call the word, this is where we use the word grooming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're very, like, oh, in time we can, you know, we'll grow closer and we'll, you know, this and that. Like, making them feel comfortable. Like,
correct.
Oh, you're going to be fine. Don't, you know, just don't tell your parents. Don't show them our messages.
Yeah.
So, like, that guy specifically, the one I was talking about, he talked for 2.5 months. He didn't really talk too sexual, never really said any intent and why, but he did drive 45 minutes to come meet what he thought was a 13-year-old at 11 at night.
Right.
So for me, that's even creepier.
Right.
That's even more scary than the guy that's just blatantly saying, oh, I want to do this, this, and this. Where are we going to meet? Okay, cool. So, yeah, that's kind of how it goes. It could be hit or miss. It could be a day. Or it could be a month, it could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, it's all different.
Interesting. I noticed in a lot of your videos, and maybe this is by trial and error, you guys end up usually in like a Walmart, which I think is funny. So why is that? Obviously it's a public place, but Do they give any, like, any harassment there when you guys are in there filming? Do they try to shag you out sometimes?
No. So, good question.
I'm always curious about this. I'm like, how does this work behind the scenes?
I would say almost every 50 questions on a video, or every 30, is why is this always in Walmart?
Yeah.
So, one, the Walmart that we picked specifically is close to us. Okay. I'm not going to go drive
right,
and spend
my
gas money
minutes
to go, yeah. Right. I mean,
to go,
you know,
catch the bad guy.
Obviously, if, you know, this becomes something to where it's financially stable to be able to go out and spend that type of time and do it,
sure.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Right? I'd love to travel. There's groups that they raise enough to where they can travel the world. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And I love to be there at some point. We decided to stick with a public location,
yeah,
like you said.
A nice big open.
Somewhere where there's a lot of people, so someone's going to feel less threatened and less likely to want to pull a weapon out or
sure.
do something because
right.
there's other people around.
And probably also kind of blend in. Like
exactly.
if they're there and a kid shows
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Well, so that's a good thing for the press. A lot of them will say, oh, I'll have to pretend you're my little sister or my little brother or my, you know, right?
Yeah.
So it makes them almost feel a little bit more comfortable too because
sure.
Walmart's so big, okay, rather than saying, hey, let's meet at the Starbucks.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Where there's going to be maybe a couple people in there.
Probably not a lot of kids, depending on the age.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that also, like, if you,
makes sense.
If you tell someone, hey, let me meet you, like Starbucks or somewhere where there's not a lot of people, they're going to be able to pull in their car and go, okay, there's no one in there. Like,
right.
And we've had that before. This guy was supposed to meet us at this ice cream place.
And then they get freaked out because they're like,
he's sitting in, we walked up to his car. He's just in his car looking in the ice cream place. So finally, it was an hour, like over 40 minutes, I would say. We finally just walked up to his window. We're like, yo, we need to have a talk. And he ended up obviously pulling away, driving away. And, that's kind of why we won't do
yeah,
you know, locations
sense.
Like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Walmart, no, they have, the specific Walmart that we go to, which I don't want to say which one
mm-hmm.
it is great. The security team, another catch, awesome. All right, let it, you know,
okay.
they're very cool about it.
That makes me happy. Because
yeah.
I always wondered that. I'm like, I would assume, especially because you've been doing this for so long and there's like so many videos, which are awesome. You have to go watch all of them. You would think that they would get to know you, and then
they do. I got the main security guy's number, you know.
That's
so
awesome.
I'll text them, say, hey, I'm doing okay, great, you know. And they like it. They're like, good work,
I'm
you know.
I'm sure.
What was really cool was one of the highest guys up at this Walmart, who's behind the scenes. He's seen the videos. He emails me personally and says, hey, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing.
So cool.
We support. Like what?
I know.
That's,
you're like, oh,
that's awesome.
Gotta make
yeah.
you feel so good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just. And it's not just, like, for me, it's good that there's people out there that have a heart that,
absolutely.
You know, like, well, okay, these people are doing a good thing. Let's support them instead of shine them away, you know,
right.
show them away, you know, like.
Yeah. Everyone uses the it takes a village line about, like, kids and whatever. But, you know, I think about just, okay, all the kids in just our small little, like, area of South Florida, which all this is going on. It terrifies me that you branch it out to the whole country, which is awful, because you know this is going on
everywhere.
In every corner, everywhere, no matter where you're from. But to kind of have, you know, I don't know, you're like a superhero in the background, kind of like, you know, just trying to do the right thing in any way possible. So, you know, we asked you, do you know how many, you know, catches you've had? And you've had a lot, but
yeah.
you're not sitting there. You're not doing it for that. You're doing it.
Yeah,
One catch is...
Yeah.
One kid that
yeah.
you know you potentially
yeah.
saved, which is a great thing.
Yeah, with this mission, like you just said, even if we prevented the possibility of one
absolutely.
Kid throughout
it's
this
huge.
Whole thing, that's it. Like
yeah.
that's a win, right?
That's
better
amazing.
Than anything else. Yeah, I mean that's the whole goal.
Yeah,
right, is to prevent this. At first, you know, like. You know, when I first started thinking about it, I'm like, all right, is this right, though? Like, should we, you know,
mm-hmm.
should we be doing this? And then when I started getting messages of people sharing their stories, saying, hey, I've never told anyone this before, but I feel impelled to tell you, you know, I was a victim at 13. I met this guy off the internet. He kind of just groomed me and told me
yes.
it'd all be okay. He picked me up at a park, and then he drugged me, raped me, and did all this stuff, you know, and I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
And then I started getting message after message about
yeah.
the same stories. I met this guy off the internet, and then I'm like, wow, this
mm-hmm.
is actually, but guess what? We never hear about it, right?
No, and it's kind of like, it's very scary too. And, I have kids of my own. I have a 10 and a 13-year-old, okay? So you introduce a phone into their world, and we have talks about this all the time, but there's a stat, okay? So from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. From 2019 to 2020, the reports of online child enticements doubled. And that was in 1 year. And that was a while ago. We're talking like 5 years ago. So I can only imagine what those statistics are now, especially after COVID, everybody's sitting at home, a lot of time on the hands. And I just feel like technology, it's a great thing, but it's also, as a parent, it's like terrifying because there's all these different avenues that, you know, weren't around 30, 40 years ago that people had to worry about. It was, you know, it was like a guy driving around your neighborhood in a van and it was like, oh, you know, he's scary. But now you don't know who's who and everybody's got a device and that's the scary part. So I appreciate you like taking this to heart so much and doing this because as you said, if you can impact just one kid, I mean, that's a huge thing. It's heartbreaking to hear, you know, there's the same story that's like repeated over and over and over again. And they're all out there and it doesn't stop. So
no, 100%.
It's sad.
And I think it's a stat that's online. Maybe it's like 2022, 2023. There is 500,000 active online child predators a day.
Yeah, a day.
A day. I mean, active throughout the world, 500,000.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That's just...
Yeah,
you
I know.
And it's just scary because, you know, yeah, they come, they say, oh, I had no intentions. I wasn't going to do nothing. I wasn't going to force nothing. The problem here is we're not even talking about you having a sexual relationship with the child. That's... let alone, that is wrong and disgusting. But the fact that you used a fake name or a fake number, mm-hmm. and this kid's supposed to get in your car.
Right.
We don't know what you plan on doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have no idea.
Right.
This could be human trafficking or, you know, kidnapping, whatever. You spaz out because you don't know what to do because the kid doesn't want to do something you don't want to do and you hurt him. Or that's why we do it.
Yeah. There's a million different ways that can go
wrong. It can go wrong.
And turn into something else. I want to tie in, you are an MMA fighter.
Yep.
So I think this is really cool. So how do you think, like, you tied into the MMA world and now doing this kind of work together? Does it help?
Absolutely.
A lot more exposure,
yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
So when we first started doing this, a bunch of MMA, news outlets reached out and were like, whoa. You know, undefeated pro fighters out here catching.
So cool.
Yeah. So as soon as that kind of took off, that was when the whole MMA community kind of got behind us, you know, and was like, yo, you know, Scrappy's out here doing, you know,
Scrappy,
these things.
Yes.
Yeah. Dustin. Yeah. There.
You can find Scrappy on his MMA site.
Yeah. And it definitely has helped me being a fighter, being able to do this. And I think that also comes with, like, what we talked about earlier, the courage and the confidence. Fighting is what I do. I fight full time and I've had a lot of ups and downs in my career. You know, in the past couple of years have been just all over the place. And I kind of hit a point in my MMA career where I don't know what it was. Like, I'm living here down in South Florida. I'm training full time with one of the best teams in the world. I live on a beach. I'm just like, I got, you know, I'm surrounded by good friends, beautiful women. I'm like, wow, I have a good life, but I just felt empty, you know, and that's kind of when that led me to finding God and getting back in my relationship with Christ and realizing that, like, maybe I feel empty because I'm filling myself with the wrong things.
Sure.
And it was right around that time that, you know, I prayed on, I said, God, I kind of want to be, I want to feel like I have a purpose. I want to feel like I have a reason every day to wake up instead of just for myself to be a fighter.
Sure.
Look at me, you know. It's cool. I love it, you know. But I can't help how I felt. I felt empty. And I just was feeling like, all right, maybe this isn't meant for me anymore. You know, and I was undefeated at the time, too. And, like, I have no reason to stop. I'm in a position that 90% of fighters would love to be in.
Right.
And
it's a funny feeling, right?
It was heavy. It was really heavy on my heart and on my shoulder. I just felt like, what is it? What am I missing? What am I, like, why don't I feel fulfilled? And that's kind of when I realized, like, well, maybe because I'm doing it for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I'm doing it to be the man, trying to be famous from fight, whatever, you know, in the back of my head, the motivation is to do it. It wasn't enough, you know, like, and then when I prayed on it and I thought for sure, maybe this is it, I'm done, you know. Then I got another fight, and a fight happened. It worked out perfect. I ended up winning. I won the title at this promotion. Like, I'm 8-0 now, and now I have more to fight for because I'm fighting with a purpose, and I have God in my life, and I realize that instead of doing this for me, I'm going to do it for Him and have Him use me, use my platform to to do something bigger, to reach more. And that's kind of when the predator catching stuff kind of fizzled, started
the
going.
The timing of it. That's
and
so
And I prayed
cool.
on it, and I was like, is this meant to be? Like, you know, and it kept working out. So I'm like, all right, I feel like maybe this could be, you know, part of my purpose. And then I get asked all the time, are you going to stop fighting to do this full time or whatever the case may be? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow the journey. Right. And I love fighting. I'm 9-0 now. And, you know, like, I don't want to give up on it.
Right.
I just turned 30 and I, you know, I'm creeping into my prime of it. And these next couple of years, I'm excited to see where it goes and to see where 561 PC goes as well.
Totally.
And
it's interesting because I feel like it's totally, two different crafts, if you will, that are just working. They're lining up perfectly, like side by side, and they're running in conjunction with each other. And you know, and that's a great thing because sometimes people, they find themselves at a crossroads of like, I have to pick this or that. And here I feel like you don't have to pick this or that. You're doing both together, which is really cool and kind of go hand in hand, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, no, exactly. They kind of do. You know, I'm able to train throughout the day and then at night, catch predators.
I'm glad you brought this up. So if you're just like sitting there Netflixing, you just get a call and then it's like, boom, you have to go. Is it kind of like being on call?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because there's times where the person's bailed on us. You know, I've showed up to the meet location and sat for hours before and then they'll bail. They never show because they're nervous.
Yeah.
They're bailed because obviously, you know.
They know it's wrong.
They know it's wrong.
A possibility that.
But yeah, that's how it can be. I could be like, that happened recently. My girlfriend and I were sitting down at 11 o'clock at night in the middle of a Netflix thing, and Decoy says, hey, this kid wants to meet. He's on his way right now. He's on a 55-minute bike ride. And I'm like,
okay, but what was the Netflix show? I have to know.
Oh, we were watching Suits, I think.
Oh, I love Suits. Okay,
yeah,
my husband and I watch that
Mike
too.
Ross.
Yeah.
My guy.
Love it.
But a lot of people don't realize what it takes.
Right? I'm sure, yeah.
It's a drop of a bucket, right?
Yeah.
And I have my man, Chris. He's from the West Palm Beach area. And I put out a post one time because I needed help. It was only me. I need someone to record. I needed, you know, and Chris reached out and said, man, I'm available anytime. I'd love to help out. This guy, on a snap of a fingers, drives 40 minutes to come record for us. Like I said, there's been times where he drives, snap of fingers, out of nowhere. He gets there, and we sit for an hour, and no one shows up. And I'm like looking at him, like, man, I'm so sorry. Let me give you some gas money, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, that's why we ask for donations.
Totally.
For stuff like that. Like, it's not for us. We can fill our pockets and buy cool.
Yeah.
No. That money is to pay for my editor, pay for, you know, that makes the video, pay for the camera guy, pay for the decoys because they're time.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and Chris won't take the money. He does it because it's in his heart.
Yeah.
So big shout out to Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, Chris is a great guy. He's
awesome.
He's 561 PC now. He's part of my team. And it's incredible to, you know, to see someone other than myself like him have the heart to want to just jump, you know, straight into this. And that's how it goes, though, you know.
You know, I think it's interesting when I watch these videos, these guys sit here and they talk for like a long time.
Yep.
And they go on and they want to tell you their whole story and their side. Why do you think they do that? What is that?
Well, I can tell you why.
Yeah, tell me.
They don't want to talk and I'm like, okay, that's fine. Well, I'll just send this over to your boss.
Right.
Whoa, wait a second.
And then they freak out.
Yeah, wait a second. Or I just show them a picture of like, oh, this is your sister, brother's, father's contact information, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't want to talk? We'll just send it to
them. And
then,
like, oh, shoot, he's...
Wait a second,
he knows a lot more about
me
than
exactly,
I thought.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, a lot of these guys use fake names, fake whatever. So when they're like, this guy probably doesn't... He doesn't know who I am. But little do they know that I do.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a... I would say that's a big reason. We had a 38-year-old woman, first female. This lady, she bailed one time before on meeting up, and then she finally gave in. But a 38-year-old female, and she planned to have sex with a 14-year-old girl at her house while her mom was gone at work.
Yes.
Right? So she shows up to Walmart. I approach her. When I say the worst pred we've ever caught out of 30-something preds, the worst one was this female. emptiness in her eyes.
Yeah.
Straight denial. Looked at me like, like I was completely wrong. Like, nope, you got the wrong person. Nope, nope.
Goodness.
The fact that she was lying, and then on top of that, what a lot of people don't know unless they heard me say it, her plan was to see how that night went with the 14-year-old, and then she was going to invite her to a hotel room to have a threesome with another gentleman who knows that she was only 14. What?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Where does that
And think of what that could have been.
Yeah.
Sex trafficking, selling her out, drugging her, rape, whatever.
All the worst things you could think of.
All of above.
Yeah.
It wasn't until about 45 minutes later, 50 minutes later, the cop finally breaking her down, and I asked her, I was like, are you a monster? And then she's like, I'm not. She starts crying. She starts, like, kind of opening up, saying, you know, I've been addicted to this before, my boyfriend this. You know, every excuse in the book.
Sure.
There's no reason to meet.
Right.
No reason to do what you're doing, right?
Right.
But unfortunately for her, it didn't matter. The cops were waiting outside.
Yeah.
And I had the evidence. So they acted on it, and she was arrested.
It's like a year and a half now. You've got, like, a whole process.
Yeah, because I want to do it right. I want to do it by the book. I want this to be as professional as it can be, if it can be professional. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just go in there and let somebody, you know, get away that's, you know, doing something bad. Almost a month ago now, 3 weeks ago, we caught a registered sex offender.
Wow.
Came to meet a little 14-year-old boy. The catch kind of went wrong. Sometimes they don't go perfect, right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's good to have kind of a structured, you know, planned out way of doing this.
Yeah.
And I do it the best I can, and I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to mess up. But I do everything I can with a full heart and, you know, to the best of my ability.
From what you've seen, what are some of the signs that, like, a parent can look for, okay, if they think that their kid might be online talking to somebody they shouldn't be?
Well, so I think the best thing a parent could do to make sure their children's not online talking to someone they shouldn't be is just kind of be a little bit more involved, be a hawk. On
yeah,
it.
Totally.
It's your kid, right?
That's terrifying.
What do you rather your kid be upset with you that you're a little too strict?
Right.
Or you're not terrible. Giving a damn, and then your kid doing something they shouldn't do, yeah. And it ends in the worst way possible.
Totally. Totally agree. What do you want to see in the next 5 years for 561 PC? Or
honestly, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. I just want to see where the journey goes. I don't have an exact goal. You know, I don't necessarily want to say I want to train other people to do this, because I don't want other people to do this and then them get in danger, right?
Sure.
I don't want to ever
advise.
It's
gotta be a personal choice.
And I get
sure.
a lot of people to ask, hey, I want to do this in my city, can you help me out? And I won't help you, because I'm not being responsible for you doing something.
Sure.
Right? I don't feel safe. You got to figure it out on your own if you want to do it.
Right. And I totally get it, because then I'd be like, if something terrible happened to you,
I couldn't live with it. Right.
It's on my conscience.
Oh, did you hear about Jay from New York that
totally.
You helped send? Yeah, he got shot. Like,
right.
it would kill me, right?
I totally understand.
But I don't know. I'm excited to see. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I work with a great organization, PCI. They've been doing it for about 6 years.
Okay.
They're one of my decoys.
Awesome.
Amazing group. You guys definitely go check out PCI and People vs. Preds, Joshua Pickles. They're two of my decoys that go over and beyond for 561 PC to make
that.
These catches possible. And I can't thank them enough. Together, they've probably caught, I think they have caught over 1,000 Preds since they've been doing it. 600 for PCI and about 500 or so for Josh and with People vs. Preds. I want the mission to be, and to always be, to catch these guys, get them arrested and charged and convicted.
Mm-hmm.
That is the goal, and that's what it will always be.
Awesome.
You know, if something else comes along the line to make this bigger,
totally,
but it's the same goal,
yep.
then I'm all for it. People say, oh, you should do a TV show. Well, is it going to end in the same result? Sure.
Right.
Then if so, okay, cool. Will it help being broadcasted like that? If it helps, then sure. If it maybe sees a guy, maybe a guy sees it and they go, he goes, dang, I've been talking with a, you know what, this is wrong.
Yeah,
you know?
I should step back and
yeah, exactly.
cut ties and
so,
move on. Yeah,
5 years
it.
From now, who knows? I just know that I would like to still be able to do it and just make an impact.
Awesome. Anything that you can help to support Dustin in this insurmountable, so probably feels like sometimes task day to day of catching these bad guys?
Yeah.
let's help Dustin out. And I appreciate you being here today. So good to meet you.
No, thank you so much for having me.
So awesome what you're doing. And it's so appreciated, like I said. So thank you. Yeah. All right, so follow along. And if there's any way that you can help or even donate to 561PC, you heard what Dustin said. So help him out in any way that we can. And we'll keep following you and watching you and seeing all the good things that you do from now through whoever knows how long. So
yeah.
Thank you. All right. And that's it for 501CTV today, guys. It was such a great time with Dustin here. And we'll catch you on the next episode. And a special thank you, as always, to Kana House Studios, Wellington's first and only social content creation studio. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.